Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we are playing with our audio still today, so you're going to hear some different things. Welcome. We're blessed to be here on a Thursday, getting through the week. One more day, and it's Friday, and we are off. Well, most of us are off. A lot of us probably might have church stuff that we have to do. I know Sunday, I preach on Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Metro Church. You're listening to the Midwatch, or Midwatch with the Rev. Or Midwatch is what sometimes we call it, but Midwatch with the Rev, and I am your host, David Yanez. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I hope that we're coming in loud and clear. I hope that you're able to hear us, because we are very, very, very diligent in trying to get things worked out on our sound and everything that we do. So, the show today. Our show and everything that we do on today's show is going to be a little bit different today. Friday, tomorrow is going to be about relate. Let me tell you about tomorrow's show. It's going to be about relationships. It's going to be about getting things going. I know that a lot of us are in relationships, and at times we see ourselves not progressing and stuff. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the progress of relationships. I think that everybody out there needs to be able to see that their relationships are going somewhere. So that's tomorrow. We're not going to go into it. We're not going to go too deep into it. But I have been blessed in teaching on relationships, and we've been able to help a lot of people that normally don't do relation-type conferences and stuff. We've been able to talk to those people and get things going as well. So today's on Thursday. Today is going to be our mission day of the week. We're not going to ask for any money. I know a lot of you are here at missions and you go, oh my goodness. But I'm just going to talk to you about a little bit about what I've done, a little bit of what I've been a part of, a little bit of how I got into the missions and doing mission work and stuff. It was not by a desire to go do missions. It was just by a way of God opening a door where there was no other choice but to work in the missions work. We'll get into that in just a minute. Let me give you our email address. You can email me, therev at midwatchwiththerev.com. Again, my email address is therev at midwatchwiththerev.com. You can chat with me. I'm logged in right now at that little chat window down the bottom of your screen. If you're listening to the players on the station, it will be at the bottom of the station player, at the bottom of the screen. I'm right underneath the player you're listening to, so you can chat while you're listening. I also have some on the station, on the outside of the front page. I have chats also on Rev Media Network, Rev Media Publishing, all of our websites, all the way to even our archives. If you're listening to broadcasts and stuff, you can actually find the archives. I loaded some up over here on the station's website, but also have all the older broadcasts, anything that was recorded or pre-recorded before this station started producing the shows and stuff. It will be on the Midwatch with the Rev archive, the relationshipseries.com, or Survivors by Faith. Those are all archives that kind of have titles to it. Of course, if you're looking for relationships, go to relationshipseries.com. If you're looking for information about faith and about healing, Survivors by Faith. And then Midwatch is just the general, everything else that didn't fall into those two categories kind of drop into there. So you can do a name search. And I recommend when you do your name search, you use capitals, letters, because for some reason, the name search that we have on there, they're all capitalized, so I probably should put them lowercase or something. But either way, you'll be able to hear our program on there. You'll be able to see what we're doing and see the different things on there. There's Chatango, I'll get my wife to help me pronounce this. Chatango is on the bottom of the Midwatch with the Rev sites and the archive sites. I hope that you've been able to look at my book online. If you've gone to almostoutofgrace.com, there is a copy of my book, and it has two chapters of them. That it has Time to Go. It also has, I believe, Desire, and then there's Time to Go. And Desire talks about why that heart and that beat in our heart wants to have someone in our life. And it goes through the point that goes all the way from Adam, comes all the way to you. It shows you how God put that desire in your heart. And then time to go is when you're in a relationship. And like I was talking about progress, there has to be progress in relationships. Now, that kind of covers a little bit of progress. And it just covers about the progress of you getting hit or you getting mentally abused or you knowing that relationship's causing you to do bad things. And then it's called time to go, that chapter. Now, both of those chapters are straight from the book. They've been professionally edited, and they are on there, so it looks good. There's also a copy of my ebook. I don't know if a lot of y'all got my blast on my Twitter that I sent, but we are available on several other ebook sites. So if you go to almostoutofgrace.com and click under ebooks, you'll see all the six sites that we're on available. On ebook mall, stuff like that. And we're on Amazon as well. We're about to get signed up with Kindle on ebooks, and Kindle's like the latest thing that they're selling ebooks through. So we should have that done by this weekend, and we're going to be available at least in those seven spots. Plus, you can get an ebook on Almost Out of Grace or on any of our websites that has links to our ebooks. You can buy Almost Out of Grace at an ebook price of only $5.95. That is a digital download of our book, so you don't have to wait for shipping or anything. You download it right now. When you do purchase, our bookstore allows you to download it twice, and it gives you about, I think, 15 days or 7 days, something like that, to get it done. So if you're having problems, you can figure it out. You can always email us, and if you can't download it, I'll work something out with you and probably give you another couple of weeks or so to download. But it's pretty easy. If you know how to download a song, you can download an ebook. It's not a big deal. But we are trying to do our part. Yesterday we covered evangelism everywhere and in all ways, through media, preaching, and books. Now, that is our slogan or motto for the ministry. I think that a lot of people out there have to realize that we are what we need to be in God, as far as we covered Mark 16 verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's built in us. If you're a Christian, you're going to have a heart and desire as your Father, as Jesus. That heart and desire that Jesus beats in us, that we receive Christ. When Christ lives in us, we want Christ-like things. And Christ-like things would run into souls. Would run into souls. We would want souls to live. Amen? So today's word, and I kind of put this out there, we're trying this out, and every time you hear today's word, you're going to be able to here's this little bell, and this bell is awesome if I can find it, and it's pretty cool. But this bell, anytime you hear the word missions today, well, not all the time, but once in a while when you hear missions, especially on the phone calls when they say missions, you're gonna hear this bell. Let me get the sound right for you. Give me 1 second. When you hear missions, this is the bell you're gonna hear.
God bless you, my friends. If you've heard...
Not the right song. Hold on. That is the bell you're going to hear. Amen? That is the bell. Let's do it one more time. Every time you hear the word of the day on our broadcast, you're going to hear this. I don't know if that's coming in clear or not, but I do know that God is awesome and that God is going to be able to get all this stuff and everything that we're doing. Amen. And we're going to hear some good reports. I have one guest lined up. I'm trying to get the second guest. And what I want to give you today is just a scope of what the difference is about missions and ministry. When I first started in this ministry, when I first started preaching back when I come back to Houston out of the Navy, and I got to go into that one day, and I'll give you that story in a couple of weeks about how when I was in the Navy, I was doing so well in the military, and when I got out, that I had to decide if I was going to come back home to Houston or stay out there with my friends in California and the work that we're doing out there. It's always a tough decision when it comes down to that. It's always a, a tough decision when it comes down to trying to figure out what we're going to say and how we're going to say it, and as far as deciding which way we go with God or not. But there was a scripture in there, and I'll share that story another time. But for this time, I came back into Houston, and I was didn't know how to find a place. I found a place, and then yesterday's show on leadership, we had that show on leadership with Pastor Mike Salazar. Before Mike called in, I was able to share with you just about a few minutes of having to find the right person to sit with. And well, when I came in, I did tell you that the first person that I sat with wasn't the right person for me. It wasn't the right person for my ministry and for what I was doing and how I was doing. But at the same time, I wasn't where I needed to be either to receive the instruction as well. I was a young man of God, 20, 21, coming out of the military, at least 21, 22, something like that. Either way, I end up running into this other man of God by a friend and missions, and it was a global ministry. Let me just tell you some of the few things that this ministry had done. They were primary, of course, in the 1040 window. That was the big thing back there in 93 and stuff, talking always about the 1040 window and stuff like that. And just some of the accomplishments that this ministry did was amazing. This was a man of God that you wouldn't expect. You would never expect him to be who he was. He would always hang out and talk with you. And he'd always be busy on the phone. I never understood that. He was always just busy, 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 constantly. Making jokes, making friends, meeting pastors. Well, I tell you what, he taught me a lot. He was a great friend, a great brother. He was more of a brother than a father. He just basically gave me a lot of knowledge. But he was very demanding, and it was very hard to work for. So he had to be willing to just adjust to his culture, because it was a different culture. It's different when you have a person you're sitting with that is from America. Now, he wasn't. He was from India. But eventually he became an American citizen. But at the same time, he had a unique message. I mean, you couldn't mess with the numbers. When I joined with him, he was having some of the biggest crusades in his life. He was having some of the biggest crusades in his ministry. I believe we witnessed 1 million people coming to a conference at one time, one crusade, a five-night crusade, over 1 million people flocked there. 500,000 people in that 1 week gave their hearts to Jesus. 500,000 people. Decision cards written on him. Names and contact information. You're talking in the middle of Hyderabad, India, in the jungles. His primary work was in Orissa State, which was, if you see a lot of television, and you see a lot of news reports, a lot of the reports they're going to have, a lot of the work that a lot of ministries that are doing are in the southern India, which is the Andhra Pradesh, which is the Vishakhapatnam, which is the state just below Orissa State. And then Orissa State would be kind of almost, I think, the half the size of Texas. But they have over, I don't know how many hundreds of millions just in that area alone that never received Christ. There were the jungles. That was the backwoods, if you want to call it that. The jungles, the literal jungles. Now, Vishakhapatnam, we had some dead jungles, but it was more seaside, seashore type atmosphere. And ministers would always go there and do their ministries and stuff because they were welcomed and received there. But when you go into Orissa State, you were talking about more hostile area. Well, Paul, my mentor, did a lot of his work out that way. And he was an amazing man of God. I know I mentioned that article yesterday. I don't know if you caught yesterday's story, but there's a telescope that they're building in Hawaii. It's this huge, huge telescope. And this is just for you to realize that not everybody knows and receives Jesus and understands what we are preaching. Just in Hawaii, imagine the local religious people that have their own sectors of ministries and sectors of religion. They still follow the Hawaiian traditional spiritualist way. They are not open to Christianity. They serve the island gods still. We're raising a huge I guess, conflict or huge breakdown on this telescope that they're trying to do. They were just voicing their opinion and were very discouraged and raising, I don't know the word, would be this, their concerns for that people are building their telescope on their holy mountain that they would go to pray, that there was much tradition and burial ground, holy burial ground in that mountain that belongs to their people and to their ways of worship. Now, there weren't their pagan worship, but it wasn't worshiping of God. But just in Hawaii, we still have people there that still don't hear and don't receive the word of Christ. Now, imagine Hawaii, a place that's cultured, a place that we know as Americans, that we can go in, we can live, we can blend. Most of us, I'm Hispanic, so I can blend with the natives. I lived out there for quite some time, and I just wore shorts and a tore-up shirt most of the time and just ate and hanged out with the locals and wore sandals. So that was a long time ago, and it was cool. It was fun. We'd go fishing with them. They'd actually go spear fishing, and I kind of just watched. I really didn't get into that. But what I'm saying is this, that most of these areas that we know, I mean, we know here, we know Houston, we know Cincinnati, we know Chicago, we'll witness, and people, where they receive the word, because we know how to witness to them and stuff. What about when you go out to the jungle, in the middle of the place where you don't even know the language? And that's what I believe the ministries have to hear. I want to read you a scripture really quick. It's not going to take me long. It's going to be found in Romans 10. I tell you what, I have this scripture memorized. This is the scripture that I would take out to churches and preach. And it says in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How when shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." My brothers, my sisters that are listening around the world, listen to that scripture one more time. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That was our marquee scripture, and it is the marquee scripture for missions. For missions. Missions is what this show's about today. Today we have some good mission people that are going to do some great things. I have Timothy that I'm going to be calling in a few minutes, or have him call in a few minutes. Timothy Dipp served with me with that ministry. He still continues with that ministry. I parted ways back in 95, 96, something like that, but always kept in contact and did some contract work for them here and there just to get ministries done. But what I want to bring also is my pastor back eventually, maybe on this broadcast as well. And I want to talk about two different things, two different ways of ministering. Pastor David Hope visits Kenya many times, and when he goes out there, he's literally taken Romans 10:13 through 15. He is the one that we're sending out there to preach. Your missions that work at your church, they're missionaries, and they're being sent out to the jungles and wherever they go to be the voice of God so that they can hear the gospel, and then they can believe the gospel. So whenever you look at missions, I want you to think missions have a part in God's kingdom. Missions are the reason we're really doing what we're doing. You were part of a mission from the beginning. Someone brought you to Jesus. How did they bring you to Jesus? First, you had to hear the word of God. But before you can hear the word of God, someone had to preach the word of God. And for you to believe the word of God, it had to be preached to you, so someone had to come to you. So your local church is a mission in a way. Your local church is an outreach in a way. It is to be an outreach. Also supposed to rebuild and build and nourish the sheep, but we're supposed to be our mission in our church. So what's today's word of the day? Missions. Now, when we think about things, you think about, well, how can you go over there? I don't know Telugu. I don't know Hindi. And that's true. I was approached by this man to just start jumping in and doing mission work. And I looked at him and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to India. There's some people that are dying to go overseas, but I'm really more an evangelist, but I'm not. I really don't want to be in the overseas thing. Right now, I'm building the station, but I will go overseas if I have to go overseas to do things. Because I found out with this ministry, and the only reason I found out with this ministry is twofold, that the locals have a better chance of getting the gospel preached. We just got to train them. I mean, how hard it is when someone comes over here to our country and they can't speak the language. I mean, say they're coming up from Mexico and they can't speak the language. They can only go so far as they can speak or work as far as communication goes. If I sat you in the room with someone that didn't know anything about English and all they knew was a different language, and I gave you a Bible and they could not read or understand anything you were talking about, they didn't know what a Bible looked like, and you start trying to tell them that this was the way and this is how things were run, what would you think? Take you a day, 3 days, a year maybe, till you got them to understand that you were talking about the only true God, that you were talking about Jesus, not 700 other gods, but the true and only God. So when I was approached to do stuff in ministry in those in that country, and he said, I was like, well, I don't know if I want to go to India. He said, oh, you don't have to. It's a waste of money. And pretty rude. But that's basically how he always talked. He's very straightforward. Don't mean to be rude. Just how the man is. And when he said, you just need to go out there and raise the funds. You need to let people know about what we're doing. So I started a life of raising and mission work and bringing funds. Let me tell you this. To my, I guess the words would be the reward, I guess, or my legacy in missions has been a blessing. Over 3 million widows and orphans through our financial raising and going to churches and knocking on doors and being the man of God for the mission field for 3 years. For 3 years I served. We built a huge Bible college in Vishakhapatnam, an Andhra Pradesh state. We were able to build a Martha's Widows, or forget the name of it. It was a Widows and Children's Hospital, Widows and Children's Refuge. You see, when widows die out there, there's no one to take care of them. They can't marry again. They won't marry again. When husbands die and widows are out there, there's no one to take care of them at all. Orphans are just left the street. Millions of orphans. Millions of orphans. I seen that thing on the Academy Awards, Slumdog Millionaire, and I'm thinking, you know what? At least those people are in a city. Most of these kids are in the middle of the jungle with nobody to take care of them. Nobody at all. And you look at all that, and you see that, and you wonder, you know, who cares about these people? Who really cares about these kids that don't have no food? No clothing. Again, I'm not trying to take any type of offering or anything for missions today. What we're trying to do is just Mission Thursdays is going to be basically talking about missions, talking to ministries that do mission work. And it's going to be up to me to get the host in here that can talk this stuff. I kind of just want to give you the layout of the show, let you understand what we're going to go in through here. We got the whole hour. So when he told me that I could not get in there and do the things that, as far as preaching out there in the open stadiums, and you look at that. I mean, who don't want to preach in front of 300,000 or 500,000 people? And an average of 150,000 to 200,000 people a night for a 5-night crusade it cost us an average of $25,000 a day for that. That was amazingly priced for that kind of numbers and that kind of return as far as people preaching and people being saved. We had almost, I think, 70% of the people that came, if not 80% of the people that came, received Jesus for the first time. There was ministries out there at that time that were out there trying to do the same thing that my mentor was doing, and even feeding them didn't get the numbers that he got. So when I talk about missions, I'm talking about something very dear to my heart. My mission is India. I support and pray, and whatever we ministries, things that we can do, we try and help through our contacts in India. I'm debating on some things that came up to us. We have opportunity to build our own Bible college for Revelation Ministries out there, and we may do that soon. We may do that soon. I'm going to play you a quick commercial. When we get back, I'm going to talk to you about Pepsi and about the Pepsi idea that we used to use out there in ministry. We'll be right back.
I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple if you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show. You don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, it was extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Amen, and welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we are back on. Yes, Pepsi. Yes, I said Pepsi. I know I'm not going to do a commercial for Pepsi. But one of the things we used to teach to kind of hammer this idea of Romans 10:13 through 15, that was the Pepsi idea. Our founder at that time for that ministry was in the middle of a jungle with a group of pastors that he was taking over there for the first time in to go and do some of the jungle work that he had to get done and see some of the churches that he built and some of the mission fields stuff that he built. And when he did that, he basically wanted to make sure that they were all fed and everything. So he would make sure that they had food, and every place they ate, there was Pepsi. And then they went all the way in the middle of the jungle. In the middle of nowhere, they basically got off the main parts of where the area was where people live, and they were in the middle of nowhere, and the Jeep broke down one day. And when they sat there on the floor underneath a tree, that they said that they were thirsty, and so he talked in the Telugu language and asked one of the boys to go get something to drink. And in the middle of the jungle, in this little hut, this guy comes out with an ice chest full of Pepsis. And of course, the kid brings it to him, and the pastor reaches for it, and the kid put his hand out for some money first. And at that time, when he sat down there, he was like, oh man, you mean I got to pay for this? And then my mentor at that time said, you know what? Yeah, he's actually sells it from the hut, and he goes from the city to the jungle to jungle parts selling the hut. So the van or Jeep was broken down, and it was going to be broken down the whole night. And the whole time he took that empty bottle of Pepsi, my mentor, and he sat there and he just thought, how amazing. How amazing that Pepsi could get to villages. That Pepsi can get into the middle of the jungle of India. And all these pastors were amazed about the same thing. Now let me tell you this. That the reason they were able to get all the way into those mission fields, the reason that they were able to get Pepsi all the way in there, was because they used the locals. Pepsi did not bring their top salesman from the United States of America and fly them all over to India to travel the jungles to take Pepsi. No. They realized something a long time ago, and that was to effectively get into the jungles, you're going to need someone that looks like them, talks like them, walks like them, knows them, acts like them. So when he did that, he realized it was not enough bringing these men of God, even though they're good, fluent preachers and good mission workers. The cost of just taking someone of that nature was astronomical compared to taking care of missions out there. I think when I left the ministry, and the cost to have one missionary working in the field was like $30 for a family, $20 for a single man of God or single missionary going out there and doing the word of God. So think of it, $30 a month, or probably say $300 to $600 to $1,000 a month for the missionary that you have to send out there that is actually local. And you think about it, and you realize the cost and all that, and the cost is something you have to realize and adjust. How farther can we get with the actual individual that was mission-oriented, working out there, that knew the language and knew the culture? How further can you get further with a missionary that you send in? There's pluses and pros and cons for both of them. Today we're going to have Timothy Dip call in a minute. I'm going to go in and see if he's ready to do that. And we're going to see if he can give us an insight. See what he thinks about it. But yeah, there's different pros and cons about it. I personally believe the benefit of using missionaries that are from their own country is going to be better. But then there's always the old doors that open up when you come from America or come from an outside Western culture and you go into those fields. So there's different ways. There's different ways how things look and how things are. So we're going to wait for his call. And while we're waiting, I'm going to see about talking to you real quick. In 1 second, I'm looking about where all my notes are on this. And I was reading something the other day in an article, or waiting for this call, about avoiding obstacles to effective prayer. This was written from Charles Stanley, and he posted on the Christian Post. I'm going to read you the article. It's found in James 1. 5 through 8 in the Bible. Say, some of King David's prayers are recorded in the Psalms. There we read how he praised the Lord, confessed sin, cried out about his troubles. He asked God to hear his prayers and not be silent. We all want to pray like David prayed. Amen? Without hindrances. So some of the five highlights that he put was wavering faith, doubts about God's character and dependability, wrong motives, petitions motivated by selfish desires, conflict in relationships, So being resentful or argumentative with others will affect your communication with God. This is some good stuff. Then he also talked about lack of generosity. God is displeased when we ignore people's needs or give begrudgingly to the church. He hears us asking for blessings, yet sees us refusing to obey God. So, last thing is indifferences. You got to believe the scripture and what it really means. Apathy to the scriptures is another stumbling block. God has given us the Bible so we may know him and serve him wholeheartedly. Failure to read and apply his word consistently will diminish our ability to maintain a good lifestyle. I think that effective prayer is something that we all need right now. I think that effective prayer, and again, that is Pastor Charles Stanley on the Christian Post, an article that he wrote on June 20th. Amazing article. Talks to us a lot about what God is trying to tell us. Talks to us a lot about effective prayer and trying to pray to get answers. How many of us pray to get answers? Amen? How many of us pray to get what we want to get from God? How many of us pray for healing? How many of us ask for healing and we haven't been healed yet? And not only that, how many of us want to be healed, but we have to pray for others' healing as well? Amen. Amen. Well, imagine a life of going 3 years church to church. I'm telling you the truth. In the morning, I'd be there at 8 o'clock at a service, driving my mentor. And then at 9 o'clock service will be another church. 11 o'clock service, another church. And then we'd be across town and back to the ministry office after lunches every single Sunday. Every single Sunday. We did that. Every single Sunday. It was a pain. It was a pain. But it was worth it. I'm talking I can count 350 days of the year that I worked and that I did the Lord's work. Oops, sorry about that. That I did the Lord's work. And when I did that, I'm trying to get my other laptop here so I get some more information for us. And when I did the Lord's work, it was a good thing. I told you I'm going to share with y'all about how I met my wife through doing everything for the Lord. And it was an amazing thing because it was my only day off working with this mission. And it was my only day off in the last, 340 days. How many of y'all work straight 340 days? If you're in the military, you probably have. And I think that's probably one of the reasons God put me through the military, so I could deal with that type of work environment. And of course, you get stressed and all that, so God knows how to help you and everything. Well, like I said, I'm waiting for a call, but while we're waiting for that call, we're going to keep talking about the Pepsi idea. So what we did was we used to go across different countries and different ministries and different regions with the native missionaries, not just in India, but in Pakistan, Burma, of course, India. We even had missions going into China, Nepal. And we had so much evangelism. There are some places that we built Bible training centers and some places that we just built orphanages and stuff like that. The best thing that I think we had was we would take American pastors and we would actually take them to the ministry, and we would have them preach to their pastors. How great was that? That we would set up a pastors' conference, bring these great successful men of God that pastored these beautiful churches, strong churches, anywhere from 50 people to 15 1,000 people membership, and we would take them over there to speak to over 1,500 pastors. 1,500 pastors, even 3,000 pastors at one time. And they would speak the whole week, so that the mornings there would be pastors' conferences, and in the evenings there would be crusades. My mentor would speak at the crusades. The pastors would speak at the pastors' conference, building the pastors. It was awesome. And I'll tell you what, every man of God that went out there, that seen those crowds and seen things that happened out there, were humbled. They were humbled. They're humbled by God's grace. They're humbled by God's power. Missions. We're talking about missions today. Missions is the subject. Let me tell you another thing. Film a team attacked in India. This came out in the Christian News Ministries. I think it's Mission Network News. Mission Network News reports that despite the government of India's attempts to protect minority religions, persecution of Christians continues. It's been 11 months since the massive attacks in the state of Orissa State. Now, we covered that the other day. We talked about the Orissa State witnesses were being death threats, according to reports to the witnesses that were going to witness against the persecutors that were attacking everybody and the massive attacks. But let's keep reading here. Results in thousands of homes destroyed and thousands of injured and displaced. That was in Orissa State. Gospel for Asia continues to feel the effects of violence against their workers. Gospel for Asia supported film team's members Bana Singh and Mirachi Malik encountered harsh opposition one night as they attempted to screen a Christian film. GFA's Daniel Puno says there were 200 villagers who came out to see the life of Christ. Some anti-Christian people came in and disrupted the meeting, destroyed the generator, damaged equipment, and beat up the missionaries. And the villagers actually protected the missionaries by taking them into their homes. So you see, they want to see good things happen. Amen? They want to see good things happen. They want to see people come to Christ. So when the villagers bring them in, they want to see the people around them saved. So they even took up action and took people into their house. And that is how those people are out there. You see the ones that hate and the ones that are, and there are people that, there's haters everywhere. Amen? There's haters everywhere. But you see the people with love of Christ in their heart, I don't care what country they're in, they're going to love you and take care of you. And these people took them into their house. Now what does that mean? Well, if they took them into their house, they're going to remember them. The missionaries are going to be gone. They're going to be gone and go into the next village. But these people are going to remember the house that they took them into. And they're going to probably attack it and burn it down. That's how it works out there. It's sad to say. So they take a risk when they protect them. Missions is today's topic. Missions is what we're talking about. We want you to realize that your part in missions starts in your heart. Pray for us first. Pray for everyone that's involved in missions. Your church may have a mission field, mission work that's going out there, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Looks like my caller's not calling, so we're going to call my backup caller. Actually, he was supposed to call second, but if the other one's not going to call, then we'll get someone else. And we're going to try and get them in to talk about missions. I want you to get a good phone call. And we want to be able to get y'all to hear what other people are doing out there. I'm going to try and get Pastor David Hope to call. And see what he does. If he has time, we'll be able to get him on the air as well. If not, I'll take it the rest of the way. I've carried it 45 minutes. I'll carry it the other 15. Amen. Amen. Well, what I was trying to do was try and get Timothy and Pastor David Hope on the air at the same time or one after another. And I wanted to ask him questions about how effective and what are they doing. And they're, because one's a native and one's an outsider coming in. and I want to see their takes and stuff. And if not, we'll save that. We'll set that up and save that conversation for next week. It doesn't matter. But we can ask Pastor David and some questions if he calls in. If not, we are blessed. We're going to keep going forward. We're going to see some great things. And we're going to see God moving everything. Let me go ahead and put another infomercial about our ministry, Revelation Ministries.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of MidWatch with the Rev and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here on Rev Media Network. We're going to be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series, relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com.
Amen. Amen. Rev Ministries. Rev Ministries, a lot of people probably get confused, and I don't blame you. I get confused with the different sites that we have. And one of the sites that we have is basically Rev Ministries. Rev Ministries is the main site of our ministry. A Rev Media Network is an offshoot of Rev Ministry. And hey, we got a call. Let's take that. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey, Pastor.
David Hope calling.
Hey, Pastor David Hope of Metro Church. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, well, I'm talking about missions today. And, of course, this is David Yannis, the host of MidWatch with the Rev, your partner in crime. But we're talking about missions and what we're trying to talk about. I've been talking about using the native missionary to go into the different parts of the country. And I shared personal experiences as far as me being with the ministry and doing missions for a while. But I want to give you the chance to just highlight the benefits of an outsider going into a person from America, going into like the countries that you go into, Africa and stuff, and just give us some of the benefits from that.
Okay, I'd be glad to. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is several of the trips that I've taken to Kenya in West Kenya, sort of towards the Tanzania border and the Uganda border. Some of the pastors, the local pastors, would like to get into the primary schools and secondary schools and, you know, minister to the kids and get relationships established where they could get to their, you know, meet their parents and so forth and get them in church. But they're not able to get in on a regular basis or sometimes not at all. So when I've come, I've gone mostly to the minister in the schools, and they're able to say to the school principals and administrators that they have a guest, a visitor from the United States that would like to speak. And that opens the door because they love the United States. You know, we hear a lot of things of, you know, that other parts of the world, and they hate the United States. Well, that's not true in Kenya. They love the United States. I've talked to many of the students and adults there, and their dream is to go to the United States to get education, and they put a high value on education. And so I would be able to go into the schools, bring several local pastors in with me. Then after it's all over, we have lots of salvations. 2007, I had over 6,600 salvations from children. And so as we were leaving, they'll say, oh, please come back. And I said, well, you know, I may be a long time before I can come back, but they've met the pastors there. They're telling them they have an open door to come back. All they needed was just an opportunity. And so it was of a great benefit to the locals there, because they, the ones that are there, who can disciple them, but they just needed an open door just because I was from the United States of America.
Amen, Pastor. So when you go out there and stuff, I was reading an article about some Christians that were attacked, some missionaries that were attacked this week in Orissa State in India, and they're part of the film ministry that was taking stuff to do the Child of Jesus film, which is popular out there in all the countries. Mm-hmm. And what the thing was that when they were attacked, these the village that they were showing the show to actually protected the missionary. So you see a big love for outsiders coming in to help. Amen?
That's right. That's right. Oh, they treat me so well. They just want to feed me and serve me, and it's really something.
Now, you do a lot of pastor conferences when you go as well?
Sometimes.
And how?
I do.
How
it's either, you know, the point is to go to the schools, or sometimes it's the conferences, and sometimes we can combine both.
Amen. Because I know that, what do you see that's effective out there when you go teach?
Well, really, anything about faith pertaining to, you know, how to see things in reality in the real three-dimensional world that you read about in the Bible. Because the further you go away from, the further out away from where there's civilization and so forth, it's they don't have the teachings like we do. We can turn on the television, those Kenneth Copeland, and then, you know, somebody else, all these great teachers, and they don't have that. And so when you come in and bring the Word of God, I mean, they are just soaking it up, and it's like it's going right directly from your spirit into their spirit. And, of course, that gets you all fired up to even more, and the anointing really flows.
Amen. Amen. When's your next trip out there, Pastor?
Well, possibly this October.
Ooh,
we'll be going.
Good. I'm going to have a lot of preaching to do when you're gone.
All right.
Amen. Well, thank you for coming in on the show. We do appreciate you taking some time just to take our call.
Okay. Thanks a bunch.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Pastor Metro Church, David Hope. He is my pastor, my senior pastor. So he's always out there available. And I praise God that he's told me that when I started the show. I said, hey, Pastor, I'm going Monday through Friday. It's going to be a lot of material. And he goes, well, you know, I'm only a phone call away. Just give me a heads up, and I will stop what I'm doing if I'm available and give you a call. I'll make my schedule available between 2 and 3. And that's great. And I like to end the shows with the calls. It gives me time to get what I want out. And then I think of more questions I want to ask the pastors or the guests when they come in. And we give them anywhere they want, from 15 to 20 minutes, even give them the whole hour if they have enough information and they want to do a whole hour with us. So if you know of some great missions that are working out there and you think that they'll be great on the show, then I tell you right now, just give us a holler. Let us know. Let us know of anyone out there that you know that can do the work of an evangelist that is doing great things, and we'll put them on the air. Another thing that I want to share with you, and I think I brought this article up, and I never got it back to y'all because I couldn't find it in my folder, and then I went ahead and found it the other day, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna share it with these guys. So it's about feeding. I mean, I know how much it costs, because being in the ministry and feeding thousands and thousands. But you know, I want to give a shout out to the Christian, I believe it's called, let me find it, here it is, World Vision is partnering with World Food Program, and what they're doing is they're feeding the IDPs, which is internally displaced persons. Anyway, they're fleeing them in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan, and I want to give you that great shout-out that they have fed over 150,000 people. The plan was to provide 24,000 people, 983 households in the region, with wheat, pulses, vegetable oil, salt, sugar, and tea until the end of the year. And what happened is they end up having to feed 150,000. Now, people die of starvation every day in other cultures. We know that. We see that in even as far as countries that are known, like Brazil. Starvation is an amazing thing. It'll not one of us want to see anyone starve. I mean, look at your kids. Look at your family. If you knew they were starving, you'd bring them something. I mean, the beautiful thing about America is here that we have a heart. How many of us haven't given a dollar to a person at the corner saying, feed me? Or the honest ones that said, I want to buy a beer or I want to buy a sandwich. How many of us haven't given them a dollar? How many of us haven't done that? I mean, it's easy. Our heart is open. We see a family in need, and we want them to have something. You look at your own kids. You want them to have whatever they want. But in other countries, it's not like that. They don't have a store right down the street that they can buy everything that they need. Nor do they have the funds to do something. Missions, my friends. Missions. You got to remember about that. You got to remember about doing missions. About doing God's work. Don't stop doing what you're doing at your local church. But see a way you can help missions. I'm not endorsing anyone. I'm not saying that they're doing a greater job than the other person. I'm just saying, get involved. Do your own research. As we say in the real estate business, due diligence. Do the due diligence that you're supposed to for your client. So do the due diligence that you're supposed to for the souls out there. See who you can get involved with. See who you can help. There's a few websites that we're going to start putting on there that do missions. In the next few weeks, we'll have that on our stations, on our channels, on our websites. I remember our address, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can write me. You can put Midwatch on that. That way I know it's coming from the Midwatch show. Just write that. If you want to support us, you can. You can go online to revministries.com, or you can donate right there on your browser. If you're looking through the station, there's a donation tab right there. Just press that button. You can donate anything. No gift is too small. Helps do a lot of things. It helps do a lot of things. If you're a pastor or ministry team, or if you're a minister and you want to get some airtime with us, remember we do not have a monthly or a fee per show that we can talk to you and work with you. We take everything on a donation basis about airing. We will not turn anyone away. Now there are some guidelines and there are some requirements as far as the program content and of course the technical parts. We needed the technical parts, the quality of the show delivered in a certain way so we can broadcast it. The easiest way to do this is through MP3s if you have them. That'll help. If you want to come record your shows, we'll have you over here recording your shows with us. Amen. We're doing a live broadcast here on Thursday the 23rd of July. Blessing everyone out there with the Word of God. Let you know that God is awesome. That God is good. Email me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. I want to thank our guests that came on the show with a call-in. The huge call for us today was Pastor David Hope. We'll try to get Timothy on the line tomorrow, or we'll try and get him on next Thursday on the Missions Day. So I'm all about doing stuff for God. God says use your talents. Use everything you got for Him. We're doing that, and we're believing that. We're believing that God is doing awesome things through our ministry. Remember, we have a prayer line at 888-241-0768. You can give that call, give that prayer line a call, leave a message in the prayer line voicemail. We'll pray for you. Eventually, we're going to get some volunteers that can volunteer to actually take the calls in and stuff. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev, and I want to be able to tell you that God loves you. Visit our sites, revministries.com, revmedianetwork.com. RevMediaPublishing.com. Get my book. It's on ebook. Almost Out of Grace. I'm going to leave you with this. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. Now, here's something I wanted to incorporate in our show as well, and it's something that we know when the time's up. That was a Navy whistle, and me being a Navy man, I love it. So it's to be our ending call. So let's hear that one more time, and that way you know when it's up. And when you hear that, that means it's up for the day. If I can find it again. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you.